Welcome to another episode of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce, and Two Pickles, a podcast for business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs to listen, learn, and contribute to the rising tide of business ownership. Every episode features a business owner sharing their rewards, struggles, and lessons learned along the way. This From the Trenches podcast is exactly the secret sauce that every startup needs to start, run, or grow their business. And now for our hosts, Tamara McDuff and Sid Ragona.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening to another edition of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles. I am your host, Tamara McDuff, with my co-host, Sid Ragona, the most awesomest pickle ever.
Well, thank you, Tamara. The most awesomest pickle ever. Well, I'm still pickle number two after pickle number one. Tamara, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I can hear birds in the background.
Yeah.
Is that you thinking, or is it birds in the background?
Yeah, I'm playing Snow White, actually. I'm out in nature playing with my little bird friends. No, actually, I am traveling as we record this, visiting with my granddaughter. So it's a little noisy in there. So I came outside. So it's nature today.
So we had a choice between grandchildren or birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have a BB gun, right?
No, but you missed it because they have cicadas down here. Yeah, that's not good. So in addition to our singing birds, we also have a very special guest.
Yeah, we do have a very special guest. And the topic for today's show is cybersecurity. And I think cybersecurity goes just beyond what most of us are used to, or what I'm used to, which is running my antivirus program. But we're now in the realm of cybersecurity, reaching into all people being affected by ransomware. Our guest today is Nathan Lotz, and he runs a company, and get this for a name, you'll never forget this one, www.computers with dot spell D-O-T. If that's not an easy one to remember, I don't know what is. Specialization, his specific specialization is cybersecurity and ransomware. How are you doing, Nathan?
Sid, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, actually. And in fact, I'm absolutely fascinated by cybersecurity, partially because I don't really understand it. And I'm sure that on my laptop, as we're speaking now, I've probably got lots of cookies monitoring everything I do, and many of them may not be beneficial to my computer. So I've looked at your website. My impression is that you do repairs and so forth. Do you sell computers?
Occasionally, but you can just get them cheaper online. So it's difficult. I'll do special built computers for, you know, gamers.
Yeah. And are you a gamer?
I used to be. This job takes up a lot of time.
Oh, I'm sure. I saw your hours, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. 6 days a week. That's commendable. And you specialize in cybersecurity?
That is correct.
And when you specialize in cybersecurity, is this for companies or individuals or the whole gamut? Who's most interested in protecting themselves?
Definitely small to medium businesses. We're trying to get into the healthcare vertical right now, especially with the amount of ransomware that's been in the news lately. Small businesses are going to be hit left and right. I do have a handful of residential clients, though. They're interested in, you know, keeping their systems up and running and not having a ransomware attack or any other virus that may pop up.
And how common are ransomware attacks for individuals and small businesses? And I'm thinking in terms of startup businesses that score mentors. How important is it for those people to have cybersecurity? And what is cybersecurity besides sort of a virus check?
Absolutely. It's imperative at this point. And the White House released a statement saying that small businesses really need to get something in place to stop the ransomware. As far as what cybersecurity is, we do a layered approach. So we have a small file that gets installed on the computer for us to monitor. There's also an antivirus. It's an artificial intelligence driven antivirus. So it learns what you do and it knows, wait a second, that's not right. We have a small program as well that does a hunt on your computer for what we call a foothold. So if somebody does get through the antivirus, does get through the filters, and was able to get a small virus on your computer, this program will actually go out and kill it and let us know, hey, something's not right, as well as the antivirus. And added protection.
You can install this on people's computers remotely. They don't have to visit your shop or anything.
Correct. I do like to talk to people, especially the small businesses. Rather than the tech guy, call the tech guy, we like to have a relationship with the businesses, help them build their infrastructure, help them go where they want to go with their business.
Okay. The reason I'm asking these questions is that when it comes to things like cybersecurity and ransomware, I barely know how to spell these words. Tell us a little bit about who your customers are. In terms of individuals or companies, and what you do for them?
Well, one of my biggest customers right now is my church. They were my first ones to help me start off. I've also got one of my SCORE mentors' churches involved as well, Jamesville Church out here in Jamesville, New York. And I do have a good handful of residential folks that have decided they wanted to beef up their security. But small businesses are our focus. They've been the most attacked as of late. And with the ransomware that has been in the news, even the White House has issued a statement saying that small businesses need to be aware and to get something in place.
When they say something in place, how many sort of options does somebody have in terms of protecting against ransomware, you know, from the simplest, what can I do to protect against ransomware without buying extra software? What can the individual do without buying extra software just by their browsing habits? And then going up a notch, what kind of inexpensive software can the regular business owner implement that will greatly reduce their risk?
Absolutely. So as far as the individual goes, even with small businesses, the individual is the weakest link in a business or even personal. And what I mean by that is their browsing habits, their email habits. A lot of people will open themselves and their networks up to a hacker by simply clicking a link or an attachment in an email. And I see that happen far too often. They're like, oh, I just won $1,000. Let me go and check that out. Or even more subdued of an email saying that your password is about to expire. You need to reset it. I had one of those emails come in last week to me. Of course, I did not click the link. As far as software goes, some of the well-known companies are getting better at detecting the start of the ransomware, such as Norton, you know, with the whole Symantec line. I think if an individual or a small business can get a hold of an artificial intelligence antivirus or an AI antivirus in the field, it's known as an EDR, which is an endpoint detection and response. It actually watches what you're doing on your computer and learns that, okay, you open this program all the time, or these type of attachments you don't normally open. That way, if something does happen, it puts a stop to it immediately.
But what if you're like most people that you have your habits and then you want to do something new? Is this going to stop you?
No, that's probably the best part about it, is that it's still an antivirus. So it's still has a database that it can pull from. Everything you do is what we call sandboxed first, and you don't even notice it. It's super fast on the fly. You open an attachment up, it looks at it real quick, launches it in its sandbox, and then says, okay, you're good, and lets you proceed on with it. So even if it's out of your norm, you're still protected, and it won't stop you from your extracurricular.
So from your point of view, if you're running a small business, And many people that SCORE interacts with, of course, are startup businesses and businesses that hope to grow. Do you feel that from the get-go, installing this type of program is not a nice to have, but a must to have?
Absolutely. It's a pivotal thing to protect yourself on your computers and your networks while you're browsing the web. Everything is online now, and we rely so heavily on our computers. A day without it could end up costing a company thousands, if not millions of dollars on the bigger scale.
Yeah, Nathan, what types of, I know small business owners are going to be saying, but I don't have anything that a hacker would want, right? I'm not Kodak, I'm not Xerox, I'm not, you know, a big company. And what do you say to those small businesses that say, I don't need this because nobody's ever going to hack into me and give me ransom?
And that is the so misconception of folks. Everybody's vulnerable, from the big corporations down to the individual. And you may not think you have anything, but the way ransomware has gone, they're starting to extort people as well. That one email you have that you forgot about that might point something bad, you're going to be in trouble if you don't want that released. You know, all the way up to your financial files on your computer that you, I only go into them once a week or once a month. Well, they're still there.
Now, getting that to email, isn't it true? I have heard from some other cybersecurity experts that now these hackers are getting so good that it's not just clicking the links in those emails, it's you opening the email. That's all they need now is to, in order to access your files. Is that correct?
Attachments, if you do like preview an attachment, that doesn't give it the opportunity, but not necessarily will infect you.
Okay.
However, an attachment, if you download it and open it, or even open it directly from your email, you might as well have just given up all your passwords.
I have a question for you then. What if you get the emails on your iPad or your phone and not your computer?
The hackers do want you to open it on your phone because we use them so often for so many different things. And one of the things that comes to mind is a two-factor authentication. What that is you type in your password and then you get a text message on your phone. Type in this number, or you have an app on your phone to, you know, help you unlock your account. Well, they just crippled your phone, so now they can see those text messages. Next thing you know, your computer's infected, so now your passwords are exposed, and now they have access to all your accounts because they can see your text messages.
That explains a lot of things that I see my son doing, who's a cybersecurity person. So what kinds of businesses do you see having the most to lose from getting hacked that should really invest in having an AI type virus protection?
All businesses are susceptible, like I was saying, but the most scary, or the scariest vertical or group of businesses would be healthcare. They have so many private records on folks, whether it's in the cloud or on their computer, it's still accessible.
Nathan, I have some questions for you. When we think of people that are sending out these emails and hackers, because, you know, we watch TV and movies, we often make the assumption that they're, you know, a group of young teenagers wanting to see how good hacking skills are. Am I right in assuming that when it comes to things like ransomware, this is not a bunch of teenagers seeing if they can get extra money from a vulnerable person? These are massive, organized, well-oiled machines that know exactly what they're doing.
You are absolutely correct. One of the images that comes to mind when you were saying the teenagers is the young adult, maybe mid-20s, living in his mom's basement, trying to make some money on the side with a hack. But they're well-oiled machines. There is a part of the internet called the dark net, and it is a smorgasbord of items for hackers to grab. It looks just like a marketplace for their advertisements. There's a segment of the hacker population that will create the ransomwares or the viruses that come out. And there's a section of the population there that actually implements it. So you've got a complete life cycle there.
Now, I also know, Nathan, that there's ethical hacking. And I'm sure you've heard that term before. A small business should invest in, or B, something that you provide for your services.
Absolutely. They're called white hat hackers or the ethical hackers. My son is actually studying to be one. So it's interesting you brought that up. As far as services we provide, we have a company we partner with, several companies we partner with that will do the white hat hacking. It's also called penetration testing, to make sure your network is up to snuff. Some of the programs we offer actually will allow you to not necessarily white hat hack, but test your employees with emails, with phishing emails. So they're not real phishing from a hacker, but they're from you as a campaign. And then you can see, oh, well, you know, Johnny really had a problem there. We need to go back and readdress his security. As far as whether a small to medium business would need the penetration testing, I don't believe so. There's, you know, two trains of thought there. Small businesses, usually 3 to 4 computers. Medium businesses, maybe up to 20 computers, could benefit from the penetration testing. But as long as you have some good defense in place, you're better off than not.
That's a good point. I know that you, because I things up, I know that you started your business round about 22 years ago, 1999. Obviously, just in time for Y2K, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
So one of my questions to you, how have you seen your business change over the years from 1999 to now? Have there been massive changes, progressive changes, or really quantum changes where you can identify that in this year, this happened, in this year, this happened, etc.? How has the landscape changed?
I would say a little bit of everything there as far as the changes go. One of the biggest changes that has happened is I was in the military at the time, and the business has followed me around from Nevada up to Idaho over to Arizona. Those moves were, you know, definitely hard to make because you end up making friends of your customers. Like I said, we like to be in a relationship versus just the tech guy to call. We're settled now in New York. No plans anytime of moving. I retired out here, so it's been a great place to live. And as far as marked changes, I would say 2.5 to 3 years ago is when we really got into the cybersecurity realm. I became more aware of it because of my son, who wanted to do the white hat hacking. So I did a lot of research into it and found the need for a good, honest company out there to help out individuals and businesses.
Well, that's fantastic. What has been your biggest challenge as a business owner? I know that most businesses start because they have some expertise, but I'm sure as you have learned and as you know, simply having the expertise does not a business make.
Absolutely so. Like you said, I started in 99 and I was what we call break fix. Somebody breaks it, we fix it, or we break it for them and then fix it if they want. I've grown in my knowledge. The Air Force did help with that. Also, just experience. Experience makes a big difference. We have experience in the field, and I think that's very important to be able to count on your confidant for your computer and your infrastructure.
How do people get to hear about you? I mean, you've got this great service, cybersecurity, protection against ransomware. But if they didn't know your name, how would they know about you?
That's the hard part. That's where Frank really came in with the marketing. I'm not good at it, like I said. I'm the tech guy. I'm not the out front and personal. So a lot of my stuff comes from word of mouth. I find that not only to be really important, but having a word of mouth from a friend really cements the fact that, hey, this person is good, or this person is great. You really will benefit from them.
And so I gather that you've benefited from mentors from SCORE.
Absolutely.
Your SCORE mentors are Frank and Rob?
That is correct. Okay. Yes, they've been a great help as well. Been pivotal. We've had a couple conversations, and he's talked to me about marketing, really helped me get on the right page with marketing. And marketing has been really difficult for me. And I think that's one of the biggest things, at least in my career field, that us techs have a problem doing, because we're hands-on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing is upfront and personal. So I got some really good tips there. And I haven't implemented all of it yet. Bits here and there.
You do know he's going to be listening to you and wanting to know why.
Absolutely. And I'm, again, I'm the tech guy, not the upfront and personal guy. So that has a lot to do with it.
Here's my message to Frank. Get on him, Frank. He's only done part of what you suggested.
I do need some redirection. Robert Shalish has also been really of a good use for me. We initially connected through the SCORE program, and my initial question was about pricing. What should I do about pricing? I'm not sure. And while that wasn't his field, he connected me with Frank, and he also, you know, told me all about SCORE and how he can help, and has been there for me. Anytime I had a question, I send him an email, and I usually hear back right away.
So you follow Rob's advice, but Frank still needs a little bit of implementation, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And I'm sorry to say that, Frank.
Yeah, most people think they can come on this show and not be harassed by it. It's not.
It doesn't happen that way, you know. So I know Frank's feelings are probably going to be hurt, I'm sure.
Well, he is a great guy, and he does have some great advice.
Well, what's the best piece of advice Frank gave you that you're not doing?
To get out there.
Oh.
that's probably the, you know, the best thing. And he had mentioned that I should really find the problem that a business has and to solve it versus trying to sell to them. That I can do once I get into the door and start talking to somebody. It's getting out there that I'm having the issue with.
Okay. So, and you said word of mouth is your best marketing strategy for now, right? Because people refer you and things like that. Do you actually, has Frank helped you create a word of mouth strategy?
Oh, no, I didn't. We talked about the word of mouth, so scratch that.
Well, would you like a piece of advice that you can go back to Frank and ask him about, and maybe you can impress him with this phrase I'm about to give you?
Okay.
If you're open to that.
Absolutely.
So what you're looking for is a talk trigger. So ask Frank what some of the best talk triggers would be for your line of business. And by talk trigger, that means what is it that you're going to say? A tagline, a leave behind, something to get your customers talking about you out in the community and amongst themselves without really referring you necessarily.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a good conversation, I'm sure.
And I will look. I think I have an extra copy of the book by Jay Baer. I'll see if I can't send it to your chapter for your chapter library resource.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, Tamara, you're going to teach a course on talk triggers?
You know, I probably could, and I might even be able to get Jay Baer to come help me do it.
Or you could do a 10 in 10, how to put together a talk trigger.
Yeah, I think I should. I think I'll add that right to my list of things to do. I've made you a post-it note now, Sid.
You have. All right.
I have.
Now, I have a couple of big words here that I've been trying to sort of internalize. Crypto viral extortion.
Crypto viral extortion. Outstanding. Huge word for a small term, but a big problem. The extortion end of it is, of course, asking for money. And the way the hackers end up asking for money is out of cryptocurrency, because it's not traceable, at least not traceable for the most part. the viral end of it is self-explanatory. It's being spread through viruses. But the extortion has reached not only ransomware, as in locking up your computer and then, you know, saying, oh, pay me so I can unlock your files. It's also reached to where they are exfiltrating your data and making people's lives miserable. You don't pay up from the ransomware locking your computer up. Well, they very well may go ahead and release your files if you don't pay up anyway.
In terms of locking up your files, is a brute force strategy around this is backing up your data on an external hard drive somewhere. So should your computer be all locked up, you know, you don't have to pay the ransomware. You just erase everything and reinstall.
Backing up is definitely one of our strategies. We push it on folks that want that added security. There's a 3-2-1 that we preach. And it's three different forms in two different locations, one being offline. So an external hard drive works, but you really need the three different forms, especially if you need a quick recovery, a cloud-based backup. And I'm not talking OneDrive or Google Drive, a true computer-based backup that's in the cloud. A cloud backup is pivotal because it doesn't do a chain backup where it backs up just a little bit here and there. It does a good, solid computer backup. So you can go back to a certain date. Let's say we determined that February 2nd is when you ended up getting infected by the ransomware. Well, you can go ahead and turn your computer back to February 1st. So you only lost, you know, X amount of data versus a whole ton of data.
I see.
Would those be like the restore points in your Microsoft Office?
Similar. The Microsoft Windows restore points that it creates are usually encrypted as well. That's one of the first things they go out and look for when they finally do get ready to launch the encrypting of your system. So the restore points and your Google Drive, other items like that, that you may have backups of or on.
Absolutely fascinating. So when it comes to having some degree of software protection installed on your computer, is this a yearly fee, a monthly fee? How does it normally work?
For our purposes, we do month by month. We do ask for a year contract, but a lot of the companies really can't afford a huge chunk of change up front. And we respect that because, you know, we were in the same boat. So the month by month has been really received well by the populace.
I was going to make some sort of really dark humor joke that should they miss their payment, do you lock up all their data?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's nothing like that. We're the good guys. We try to fight against all that cybercrime out there.
So when you were a kid growing up, did you ever envision that one day you'd have your own business and you'd be protecting other businesses from cybersecurity? I'm sure this was never in your mind, or did you always have an entrepreneurial spirit?
I've always had a tech spirit. When I was pretty young, my parents had an Apple IIe. So that really dates me, I'm afraid. And I tore it apart. And I was told, you're going to get that back together working or you're pretty much dead. Obviously not in those words, but I was determined to get it back together so I wouldn't be in trouble. And I did. Ever since then, I've torn things apart, put them back together, really been a tech guy. And as far as the cybersecurity goes, it wasn't even a thing back then. This was before the internet really hit public. But my dad is a cop, or was a cop. So I think that's definitely runs in the blood now.
And what about the entrepreneurial part of this? Did you ever think you'd grow up and be a businessman?
Not at all. Like most kids, they idolized their father. So I thought maybe a cop. And when he kind of steered me away from that, I ended up going military. So I did not think that I was going to, by any means, own my own business, let alone be able to grow.
Interesting. What about you, Tamara? Did you ever think as a kid you were going to grow up and be an entrepreneur?
I did. When I was like 5 years old, I wanted to be a secretary like my mother and work in a recording studio or a record label. And then by the time I was 8, I decided I was going to own the record label. So I, of course, went out and learned how to manage bands, become a funeral director, and then now I do digital marketing.
Oh, fascinating. So you're living the dream.
Oh, yeah, absolutely living the dream. So I taught myself digital marketing. Right. So after my funeral home career, I gave that up. I walked away and I taught myself digital marketing. So Nathan, my question for you with this entrepreneurial path is, are you self-taught in entrepreneurial spirit and also the cybersecurity, or do you have a formal background being trained either in the military or through a college program of cybersecurity?
Definitely in the military with respect to that. As far as the entrepreneurial, that's been on my own.
Nice.
I haven't had anybody until SCORE came along.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, because I know people who have hobbies of cybersecurity that, you know, obviously they could, you know, dig around and do stuff. So that's why I was curious about you. And I figured the military had something to do with that.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fascinating subject. Nathan, got a question for you. Nobody escapes this question. And there's no wriggling out of this question. Nobody's allowed to. And so the question is, if you could go back, say, 25 years and give your younger self some advice for about a minute, what advice would you give yourself? And the second part of the question is, once your younger self's received this advice from the future, would you have taken it?
Okay, well, that's definitely a loaded question.
It is.
And I can appreciate that. I don't think I would need a full minute. I've done a lot about thinking about that as the years have passed. And I would say, you know, don't stop and don't give up on your dreams. The dream was there, like I said, to be a cop, but I also had the tech ingrained in me. So I guess it naturally followed cybersecurity there. As far as what I have listened to myself, I've always been very stubborn, so I probably would have had to chew on it for a while to see whether or not I would press on. And I think ultimately I would have listened to myself.
Do you think being stubborn helped you?
I believe so. It's kept me on a good path. I've stuck to my guns and really just done what I need to do.
Do people still tell you that you're stubborn?
Absolutely.
I won't ask who. I'm quite sure it's your family, right?
Most definitely. My wife is my cheerleader, but she also puts me in my place.
As she should.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Tamara. As she should. Yeah, quite.
So what are your dreams for your business? Where do you see your business in another 5 or 10 years?
I would love to see it grow to where I have some employees as technicians and a marketing department, so I don't need to. I'd really like to get into the healthcare vertical. I think they're probably the most susceptible to, you know, hackers and the need of that cybersecurity.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And so those are goals for Frank to work on with you. See, Frank, we got him to give you some new goals.
There we go. Perfect.
Nathan, where can people find you online? Where can our listeners connect with you or ask you questions? Or if they're in the Syracuse area, maybe give you some business?
Well, several places online. I have not done a lot of digital marketing, so maybe you and I need to talk about that. I do have a website, the www.dot.net, and there is only two W's in there. I get a lot of three W's or one W, depending on how they heard me. On that site, we have the ability to schedule an appointment. We have our telephone numbers that you can reach out to. We're members of the Baldwinsville Chamber of Commerce, and we belong to the Syracuse Business Professionals Group and the North Country Business Professionals Group. They're networking groups, and that definitely helps get the word out. So we can be found on either one of those. And then we're on Google, Google Business. I get some traffic to my website through that, which is great.
And you don't have any other social media programs like Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter?
I do have a Facebook and a LinkedIn, but they're not very active. I'll post occasional threats that are out there up on my wall. I do an email blast to my clients and those who sign up to get the latest thread or some advice on how to stop it or what they can do.
Okay. All right. Well, people can try to find that website and look you up through Google. or give you a call, would you mind answering any of our listeners' questions if they happen to email you or reach out to you?
Absolutely happy to.
We like to point our listeners in the direction of experts, right? We want them to get the best information possible.
Absolutely. An email or a phone call. I'm happy to take either.
Is there any chance at all, Nathan, that we can get you, and this is really putting you on the spot, get you to put together a small presentation with things that companies can do, from just good habits to a few more things, installing software and things, a sort of five things you can do to protect your software? Say no.
I think I could handle something like that. I used to do the slides for the commander's briefing when I was in Vegas for, stationed at Nellis. So I think I could put together a presentation for you.
I think that would be great, because there isn't a business that I know that doesn't have a computer that goes with it. As Tamara and I have discussed in a recent episode, does a business owner need to be tech savvy? And the answer is no, but your business does need to be tech savvy. And the fact of the matter is everybody's data, everybody's business is residing on somebody's PC somewhere, most likely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Sid. And, cybersecurity is a hot topic. I have not had a lot of mentees come and ask about it. However, people in my business circles are asking about it. And so it's just going to be really great information to have to get out to the masses about things that they can do on their own, and then when and how they should do bigger things. So start with the no budget and all the way up to, when you have a budget.
Absolutely. And ransomware has been out there for a while. Virus have been out there even longer. There's something like 300,000 variants that are created every day. Yeah, it's important for a business to be tech savvy and to realize that everything's digital.
Yeah, well, I came on to this episode quite cheerful and confident, and now I'm leaving quite worried.
I will tell you, my son tells me all the time, Mom, if you really knew about technology, the more you know about technology, the less you're going to want to use it.
That is absolutely true. And I get that a lot, Sid, about after I give a briefing to like the networking groups I have, I've given briefings to in the chamber, and the chamber was just all open mouths and saying, I can't believe this. Oh my gosh, help me out.
Yeah, it's a bit like reading the ingredients in your processed food, isn't it? Like, well, I always enjoyed this until I knew what was in it.
Absolutely.
Well, even after reading the ingredient list, you still don't know what's in it.
Oh, precisely. Precisely.
You couldn't pronounce half of those things. I know I couldn't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I was trying to do a little bit of research before Nathan came on, I was writing things down and I was thinking, I think I know how to pronounce them, but that's about as far as it goes.
Right. Well, Nathan, this has been a really great and insightful conversation. And so we thank your mentors for recommending you. Tell everybody again what chapter you guys are that you work with.
I believe it's the Syracuse chapter.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if I had gotten pulled into a different one or not, but
nope.
Definitely we're out of Syracuse area. So the Syracuse chapter is our...
Yeah, well, after Frank Williams realizes you haven't followed all of his advice, you might not be in the Syracuse chapter longer.
That very
he
well
might kick you to us. He might kick you up to the Greater Rochester chapter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and there's no mercy here. Yeah.
Well, we thank you very much for coming on. And folks, we will post on the SCORE Greater Rochester Facebook page the link to, because it'll be easier for me to just post a link to Nathan's website. And also any of his ways to get in touch with him. So I thank you all for listening. We cannot do this show without you. And I thank you very much for that. Sid, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners or our guests?
Well, you always ask me this. Do I have any parting words of wisdom? I never have any parting words of wisdom, apart from the fact that I always come away from these interviews a wiser man. I certainly do. I enjoy conducting the interviews, and I always come away richer because of them.
Yep, I do too. I've always learned something from every one of our guests. And I keep giving you that opportunity because the one week I don't ask you will be the one week you have a lot of wisdom to give. But I appreciate that. I appreciate you, Sid. I appreciate you being my co-host and helping me get my passion project off the ground. And everybody, until next week for another edition of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles. And until then, be good to yourselves and be good to each other.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.